Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the gift of your holy word. May it be a lantern to our feet and a light to our paths this day and a strength to our lives, that we may leave this place to love and serve all people. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the resurrection story continues. The party is just starting, and we must spread the word. And those are the important words this morning. Spread the word. From our readings in Matthew last week, we heard how very early in the morning of that first Easter day, Mary Magdalene and another Mary went to visit the place where the body of Jesus had been laid. And as they approached the tomb, they were greeted by the wonderful sight of the angel of the Lord, who told them that Jesus was not there because he had risen. The angel invites the women to come and see for themselves. And then he tells them to hurry and tell the disciples that Jesus has risen and was going ahead of them to Galilee. And as they hurried away from the tomb, they met with the risen Jesus himself, who told them not to be afraid, but go to his brothers and tell them to go to Galilee, where they will see him also. Galilee was the place where it all began. It was by the Sea of Galilee that Jesus had called his first disciples. It was in the region of Galilee that Jesus began to teach and heal. And it's there that Jesus had started his ministry. And it's there that Jesus now calls his disciples to make a fresh start. Jesus takes the disciples back to their roots, back to square one. They deserted him once, but that's all behind them now. They're going to make a fresh start. Accept that this is something new, something different. Things are not going to be just the same old way as they had been before. Jesus had died and been raised and is alive. So he's not going wandering round Galilee and Judea preaching and teaching and healing anymore. Instead, Jesus commissions his disciples to continue his work for him here on earth. And he gives them what we have come to call the Great Commission. He tells them the things, how things are going to be from now on. And Jesus gives this commission not only for the 12, but for all disciples, for the church in every age. He calls you and me to make a fresh start and to go and make disciples. The great wonder of Easter is that we can hear the news that Christ has risen and is alive. We can hear it again and again, yet it goes on being as true and relevant today as it was yesterday, and will continue to be tomorrow and the next day forever. How different that is from modern news headlines. I discovered some of these the other day, sorting out a pile of old newspapers for recycling. Some of them were 4 or 5 years old, and the news events seemed strangely remote, an old hat. But the good news of Easter is different. Why? Because it continues to change lives in the present, each day offering hope and new beginnings to believers across the world. Easter Day may be over, but we cannot consign the message it proclaims to the past. It's still good news today and every day. As Jesus speaks, he uses the word all 4 times. 4 alls, which will keep us on task and keep us right as we attempt to carry out his commission. The first all is in verse 18, all authority. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." By his death and resurrection, Jesus is confirmed as the king, the rightful ruler. He's not just the king of the Jews, as the title on the cross had said. He is the king of the whole universe, heaven and earth. He has all authority. He rules over all. In some Bibles, the Greek word used for authority is translated as power. And did you know that the power used to keep televisions and other electrical appliances in the UK on a standby for just one day would be sufficient to provide electricity for a small town? It's a sobering thought, isn't it? All that power going to waste, achieving nothing. Perhaps equally sobering is the thought that we as individuals and together as a church might be guilty of wasting a different sort of power, the power of God. Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." What Jesus envisaged was the power of the Holy Spirit so flowing through us that we make a difference to the world in which we live. Some, of course, do that. But all too often, our efforts are devoted simply to keeping our own affairs ticking over. We look to our own journey of faith and discipleship. We look to our own relationship with Christ and no further. It's as though we have been put on standby, rarely if ever used for the purpose to which we were designed. If the power stored in those appliances on standby could meet the needs of a whole town, so the power of the Holy Spirit at our disposal could meet the needs of the whole world, if only we had the will and the courage to release it. This leads us to the second all. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." The business of the church is to make disciples, not just in one place. The church is called to go and make disciples, followers, learners in every nation. This is the only measure that counts. Churches can sometimes get caught up on finances or figures, accounts and attendances. But the thing that really matters is whether we're making disciples. Are we growing in our devotion to Jesus? Are we growing in him more and more? How have we grown in faith over the past year? Who has begun to follow Jesus? This is the reason why the church exists, for disciples to make more disciples. And everything that we do should be helping this aim to be achieved through church, home groups, meetings, pastoral visits, special occasions. It's something that we're all involved in. If we had been out and about in 1914, we would have seen wherever we went a poster emblazoned with the words, "Your country needs you." It was part of the government campaign to list new recruits to serve in the First World War. And incredible as it seems to us today, in the light of what we know about the horrors of that conflict, young men signed up in their thousands, eager to be part of this great adventure. The reasons behind it may be many. Partly, it reflected nationalistic fervour, and partly dreams of glory and heroism. But perhaps the underlying reason, and the one cleverly exploited by the poster, was the fact that all of us like to feel needed. This, more than anything, gives us a sense and purpose in our life to feel needed. So when we read those words from Romans 10, how can they cry out to someone they've not believed in? How can they believe in someone they have never heard of? Or how can they hear of him unless someone proclaims it to them? And how can anyone proclaim unless they are sent? Nick Fawcett says, when we hear these words, we should catch our breath in praise and thanksgiving. For here we find God expressing his need of us. God in Christ has good news for the whole world, a message he wants to everyone to hear and rejoice in. But in order to spread the word and make real his love, he depends on our contribution. It may be a cliche and one that sounds incredible, but it's nonetheless true that God requires us to be his hands and feet, his eyes and mouth, his agents here on earth. Quite simply, God needs you and me. But you might be asking, how do we do that? How do we make disciples? What should we be doing with them to make disciples? Jesus tells us how, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Disciples are learners. We are learning to obey all, everything that Jesus has commanded. Throughout Matthew's Gospel, we have lots of his teaching. The Sermon on the Mount, as we've seen in our sermon series, is very practical when it comes to obeying Jesus' words. This is what needs to be passed on. Christianity is not just do whatever you feel like. It isn't just do whatever makes you feel good. There is a body of teaching that has to be passed on. And it's our job to pass it on to the next generation and to every generation. It's at this point that things can start to seem daunting. Wow, that's a big job that Jesus has given to us. How could we possibly do that? Those early disciples in Galilee were probably thinking to themselves, this is a big job, how can we do it? You might be thinking, well, how can we continue to do that in this generation and this world in which we live? Well, Jesus gives them and us some encouragement with his final all. Look at what he says in verse 20. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. We are not on our own. No matter where we find ourselves, no matter what comes when we step out to obey Jesus' command, no matter what pressure we might find ourselves under, we are not alone. Jesus promises to be with us at all times, always. The risen Jesus has all authority, and it's with that authority he sends us to make disciples of all nations by teaching them all he has commanded. And we are not alone. He is with us at all times. Shall we finish with a prayer? Lord Jesus, you call each one of us to be your witness, to tell others of what you've experienced, what we've experienced of your love, to make known what you have done for us, to testify to the way that you changed our lives. Help us to do this faithfully, to play our part in your kingdom and purpose. And so, through us, may others come to know you for themselves. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.